way, let's welcome Putty here this morning.
Good morning, all. It is so good to be with you guys here. I didn't prepare very well, so just give me a minute to bump this on up here. It's been too long. For some of, I see a lot of familiar faces. I see some new faces. This is probably, I guess, my third time through here. Is that right? But it's been a couple of years, and so it's just wonderful to be back. I appreciate the warm welcome, and I hope I can at least somewhat live up to that introduction. Don't get your hopes too high, but hopefully we'll have a good time this morning. I was talking with Dave a little bit last night because, you know, I'm a pastor at another Vineyard church over in Illinois. And, you know, pastors talk shop with one another. How's the church doing? You know, how's it going? All that. And he was just sharing a little bit about the season of transition that you guys are beginning to navigate. Shared with me that, you know, you're looking at about a year and a half more, is that right? Until retirement, and along the way, Dave and Chip are going to be working together, raise him up, get him up to full speed, all that. And, you know, it's interesting because our church is also in the process of transition, senior leadership transition, and we're navigating all the layers of that. It's long, it's complicated. And so as a result, I've been really talking to God a lot about this process, thinking about it, praying about it. It's an interesting thing because a church basically gets one shot to get that right. And if you don't get it right, you're lucky if the church can really recover. It can tank churches, but it can also launch churches into the next generation and push them up above where they've ever been. And so it's this really kind of dynamic time, so to speak. And I've been thinking and talking and praying about it because it's very relevant in our context. And this morning, as I was just turning over with the Lord, what am I supposed to talk about? I just got the sense that the Lord was asking me to share a little bit about that, some of the things that he's talked with me about, because it's relevant for you guys. And so here's what we're going to do. I'm going to start with a little bit of teaching, and then I'll move to something that feels more like preaching. So if you're not interested in the teaching, just hang with me. We'll get there. We'll get all fired up. It'll be good. But I need to teach you guys just a little bit about this process that really you guys are navigating as a whole church. You know, transition is not just like within the staff. It's a journey the whole church body takes together. And it's really something that the whole church body has to decide, we're going to navigate this, like we're going to journey this together. Here's where God's taking us, not where God's taking them. If you guys see it as God's transitioning them, I'm just coasting, then you're actually like subtracting from the process. Really it's something God's doing with the whole family. So here's what I want to do. I want to begin by just talking a little bit about how organizations grow and develop. Okay, and so I'm going to do something. I didn't warn anyone of this, but I like to keep people on their toes. So here's what I want. I want Dave and Chip, and then my three team members. Will you guys come on up here? You're going to be visuals this morning. No warning. All right. No warning. We're keeping it fresh here. Okay. We're keeping it fresh. Okay. These men and women, come on up here, are going to represent here. Why don't all of you guys kind of step back to about here, and one by one, I'm going to sort of position you guys. These guys are going to represent the sort of five stages that organizations, including churches, but also businesses and nonprofits and whatever, and so you can probably envision some of this even if you think about your workplace or your school or whatever, you can envision some of this outside the church context. It's just kind of true everywhere. People study this stuff. Go through about five rather predictable stages, and they look like this. So stage one, we'll say, is Dave. That seems fitting. So Dave's going to come right on over here. Stage one, and this is kind of a timeline that we're mapping out here, okay? So the beginning is what's a planting stage. And that seems fair. Dave planted this church. That's legit. And what happens in the planting phase is this. A bunch of radical visionaries decide we're going to do something. We're going to do something nobody's ever done before. And they start making crazy sacrifices. They do things like, I'm going to work a full-time job and plant a church on the weekends too. And they do all kinds of crazy things like this. And it's this group of like, usually like 5 to 15 people, and they decide we're gonna change the world. And this planting phase is an exciting time, it's a risky time, it's a messy time, but it's a fun time. It's a total adventure. And so we've got a plant. And the same thing happens with a business. It's a startup venture. Oh, we can change the world. We can do it. You know, they're working out of the garage. They're raising venture capital. Same exact thing, okay? The planting phase. Let's take Chip, okay? Chip, you're number two here. And eventually what happens is you hit a growth phase. What happens in the growth phase is these crazy planters start figuring a few things out. They start figuring out, oh, you know what? Doing church at 9:30 on Tuesday night, that's not going to attract anybody. We should try Sunday morning services. People might like that. And so some things start to stick, and what happens is you begin to get growing traction. People start coming, the church starts growing, ministries start popping up, there's this sense of vibrancy and energy, and it just feels like everything is like on this up curve. It's really dynamic, it's really exciting. And so where this is like this risky, messy, small group of people, this is beginning to have kind of a greater coherency. Numbers are growing. It's feeling like, oh, this is a real church now, or this is a real business now. We actually have real clients, you know, the growth phase. All right, Jess, come on over here. And what happens in the growth phase is everything is exciting, but it's also really chaotic because you're figuring out how to do it all. And so what happens in the growth phase is every time you gather for church, you do the service in a completely different order. You know, the first time you do worship first and then teaching, and then the next week you're like, ah, let's change it around. And then the week after that, you're like, do we even need teaching at all? Let's just worship the whole time. And so it's this kind of dynamic, very flux, messy time. Then what happens is eventually you hit stability. And stability is where you've built enough kind of structure that can support the organization, and you've got this great balance where it's like, yeah, we're really in our groove. Like, we know how to do this church thing, right? People are coming. They know what to expect. We know what to expect. God has shown up. God is changing people's lives. People are getting born again. People are getting saved. People are getting healed. People are getting freed. This is exciting. So you've got the stability phase. Rosie, let's come on over here. Now, the stability phase, what's happening here is, you can see it is, the church starts with raw conviction. It's birthed out of passion and basically nothing more. I gotta do this. I gotta change the world. I don't know anything about how to do it. We're gonna change the world. And as time goes on, what happens is that conviction gets added to with like constructs and structure. So here what you have is you have the balance of conviction but also constructs and structure. What happens when you keep going is you begin to hit, bureaucracy. So now the constructs start speaking louder than the conviction. Here, you start playing things a little bit safe. Rosie here, you can give me a good bureaucracy structure. All right, there we go, right? Here, you gotta follow the rules. Why are we following the rules? Because that's what we do. Okay, we follow the rules. Here is where things start to slow down a little bit. They're a little bit less energetic. They're a little bit less exciting. They're a little bit less dynamic. You don't know why you're doing it, because what's happening is the conviction is starting to fade and the constructs are starting to run the show. What happens here, you stop counting how many people got saved and you start saying, when are we gonna do our quarterly reviews again? The priorities change. Until eventually, come on over, Andrew. Till eventually, you might hit a stage that looks like decline. And decline might be this. You could say this. It's death by committee, okay? Decline is nothing is ever changing because we need to get everybody's vote on it and nobody will ever agree on anything. And so we just keep doing the exact same thing that we did last week. Now, these different phases, bureaucracy and decline, don't necessarily mean the church shrinks. What they mean is the church runs out of life, runs out of vibrancy. You can have a bigger church here than you had back there, but what you don't have is forward motion. What you don't have is mission. And so what happens is there's this birthing that comes out of raw passion, raw conviction. And along the way, you realize we need to build some stuff that helps contain this conviction so that we can really meet the mission that God's given us. So you learn how to build. But if you're not careful, then what happens is what you build starts running the day and swallows you up until over here, all you have is constructs and you've completely lost your conviction. You start going, why are we doing a church at all? Let's turn this into a Rotary Club. And before you know it, you have a Sunday morning Rotary Club. These are kind of five stages of organizational development, and they live everywhere. Promise you, if you think hard enough, you can put your workplace somewhere on the spectrum. You can put your school somewhere on the spectrum. You can put your church somewhere on the spectrum. This is just kind of how this works. Now, it doesn't have to end in this decline thing. But there's a tendency, there's a naturalness to that happening. And what people have discovered is that the general timeline to go from here to there, if you aren't intentional about it, is about 30 to 40 years. It takes 30 to 40 years to march this spectrum. And once you start getting down here, if you don't start making some choices to re-engage with your convictions, you're gonna... Now, here's why I'm bringing all of this up. Dave, how long ago was it that you planted this church? 40 plus years. So the reason I'm saying all of this is that you guys are in the window where you're probably here. Or there's a tendency to be here. I'm not saying that to be like pointing finger. You guys are messing up. No, that's not it. It's just you got to realize this. In this transition process that you guys are navigating here, okay? Transition often gets approached as a constructs problem. Who's going to be a good enough leader to keep running the church? That's a constructs problem. I think you have a good enough leader to keep running the church. I don't think that's actually a concern, okay? Chip's great, right? Where this thing can go sideways is if in the process of this transition, here's what happens. This is new. He's never done this before. And let me tell you guys, pastoring is hard. They won't tell you this because you're their flock, okay? But pastoring is really hard. We have this thing that we tell each other when it's not Sunday mornings. We say we love pastoring, except for the people. Because here's the thing. Have you ever called your pastor just to tell him the great day you had? Probably not. You called your pastor because your marriage hit the rocks. You called the pastor because you got the diagnosis you were terrified to get. You called the pastor because you're out of money and you don't know what to do. So what we get is the worst 10% of people's life all the time. It's only 10% of your life, but once you're back up, that other person is in the pit. And then that other person is in the pit. And so we're dealing with a lot. It's hard. Okay? I'll say that for you guys, all right? Yeah, I can say it. You guys can't say it, but you know that's true, okay? So pastoring is hard. And there's no way, as great a leader as he is, there's no way he's not going to have to be on an intense learning curve. Intense learning curve. And what's going to be so easy in this process is this. To move from this place where you've got this great balance of convictions and constructs to over here where without realizing it, you start playing it safe because everybody feels just a little bit nervous because we haven't done this before. He hasn't done this before. I haven't done this before. Let's not rock the boat. Let's just stay in the safe zone. And as soon as you get comfortable there, before you know it, you're slipping over here. So the principal question that I think that I want to kind of challenge you guys with today, that was actually what the Lord, I felt like, brought me here to do, is provoke a little bit, is to say this. Guys, I think your constructs are looking real good. The question I have for all of you is this. Are you being as intentional with your convictions? How do we make sure that this thing, where he decided, you know what, I'm not going to take a better job where I'd make more money and I'd have the evenings off and I wouldn't have to put up with this drama in people's life. I'm going to choose that because I so believe in this kingdom of God thing that Jesus is doing. I'm going to make that sacrifice. That was the choice that he made. How is that conviction not just transferring to him? He's signing up for it. He's probably got it. I'm not worried about it there. I'm actually worried about it here. Do all of us carry that conviction? Because that thing is supposed to be in here for all of us. Thanks, guys. You can sit down, okay? Now, it is totally possible to do this, to update to kind of revisit your convictions, get in touch with them again, and what happens is it kicks the process out of a decline kind of a place into another upswing. You swing back into a growth and a stability. You kind of go from glory to glory, as it were, or something like that, right? It's absolutely possible. And in fact, I think a great example of this, just to give you guys a visual, is what Volkswagen did with their Beetle car. Can we go ahead and put the photo up there? This is a great example here of this in action, right? So on the right there, you've got the classic VW Bug, you know, from the 60s. And about 40 years later, Volkswagen said, you know what? Let's revisit that. Let's get in touch with the conviction that made that car in the first place, but let's rebuild around that conviction and add new constructs. And what happens is this, you've got this beautiful thing where you look at those two cars and you go, that's exactly the same car, except the one on the left looks completely modern and the one on the right looks completely old. But it's the exact same car. Isn't that interesting? What's happening is we have a renewed flame around the convictions, and that's bringing a new season. You guys, as we're navigating this, I want to challenge you around the conviction that birthed this place in the beginning. Now, one of the things I love about the Vineyard is, you know, I'm a pastor at a Vineyard church. I get to connect with a lot of Vineyard pastors. There's a conviction that birthed the Vineyard in the first place. And I see it. It's like everywhere it goes, it's really the same conviction. That's what the Vineyard shares. We have all kinds of crazy different constructs, but the conviction is something that we are all like united around. And to share what that conviction is, I want to actually briefly share my introduction to the Vineyard. Because I wasn't saved in a Vineyard church. I didn't grow up in a Vineyard church. When I came to the Vineyard about, 14, 15 years ago now, it was a really weird church for me. Because I grew up in like a classic traditional Baptist church, okay? I did Awana, if any of you know who Awana is. I did, yeah, a couple of Awanites in here, right? That's good, right? I did all of that stuff. I grew up, I loved Jesus. I was the kid who did like quiet times at like 14 years old. I never backslid, I never walked away because it really was real for me. I was the kid, I'm pretty sure that all the other parents were jealous of my parents because I was like the iconic Christian kid or something like that, okay? So this was me, right? It was real, I knew Jesus, I loved Jesus. But when I came to the Vineyard Church, at first I actually thought it was a vineyard church because I couldn't imagine a church being named after something that makes alcohol. As a Baptist, it just broke too many of my boxes. So I'm like, that's a goofy vineyard church. So I show up at the vineyard church, and all of a sudden what happens is at the end of the service, the pastor starts talking about, hey, here at the Vineyard, we believe that God is real and the Holy Spirit wants to do stuff in our everyday. So here's a few things that I believe that he spoke before the service, and he starts sharing these things called words of knowledge, these leadings that he had felt God had said. And he said, if you've got any of these situations, why don't you come on up and we'll have a prayer team that'll minister for you right now, and who knows, the Lord might heal you right now. And what happened for me when I experienced this is this. I went like this. Hold on. if this was real, I'd have heard of this. You know, here I am at 22, a professional Christian. If this was legit, this wouldn't have been the first. I went to a Christian college. I took courses on Christian theology. I've never heard of this. These guys are crazy. And of course, one thing I didn't mention was at this point I was in graduate school for physics. I'm a PhD in physics. And so I'm kind of a black belt scientist. And as a black belt scientist, you process all this stuff really differently. And so I'm like, yeah, I can tell you why these people think something's happening that's not happening. And you know what happened? I still don't know why I stayed in the crazy Vineyard church, but I did. And I wound up sitting in the back row, way back there, with my arms crossed, judging every single weekend for 4 years. Okay? So I just want to tell you guys right now, however closed you are, nothing. You got nothing compared to me, okay? I was closed upon closed, right? But here's what happened. Long story short, really long story, really short. I wind up taking the short-term missions trip to China because I was really passionate about missions and China specifically. I sign up, I pay the deposit, $1,000, to get the plane ticket, all that. And I go to the team leader, and I said, hey, what's the point of this trip? And the team leader goes, I'm so excited because this trip, we're going to train house church leaders how to pray for the sick. And I just went, oh, that is not what I want to do. Can't we go, like, build a hut? You know, can't we go paint some walls or something, you know? But I paid a grand, you know, so I'm like, fine, I'll go. Whatever, it's fine. So we make this deal. I'll go, but I'm not doing any of that praying stuff. You guys can do the praying stuff because I don't really believe in it. So I go to the trip. We get there. We're going through the training. And we're doing that thing where the house, where people are listening for words of knowledge. And so we'd set some kind of a timer. Okay, let's listen. And, you know, I'm kind of sitting there twiddling my thumbs because I'm like, I don't do this. The rest of the team can make believe or whatever. And so, just honestly, I'm sitting there twiddling my thumbs. And in the middle of it, my left forearm starts feeling really weird. And I'm like, I was definitely not feeling that like 2 minutes ago. I'm like, that is bizarre. This is really strange. I'm like, well, I'm in China. I don't know, whatever. So I decide, why not? I'll share it. So I said, hey, you know what? You may have a left forearm kind of issue. And this one gal goes, oh, that's me. I sprained my left wrist 6 months ago. It's never healed right, and the doctors are really confused. Now, a little bit of background. As a black belt scientist, here's something that I know. If I was going to say right now, okay, anyone who's got back pain in this room, stand up. It would not require God speaking for me to know there's back pain in this room. Like 1 in 4 people has back pain. There's dozens of people that have back pain in this room right now. I guarantee it. I don't need to hear God to know that. I don't need to hear God to know somebody in here has asthma, somebody in here has knee pain, somebody in here has back pain, somebody in here has difficulty breathing. Like, statistics will tell me that. I don't need to hear the Lord. Now, I'm not trying to say when someone stands up here and says, I believe the Lord is saying back pain, that they didn't hear God. I'm just saying, I don't know that you need that. And as a black belt scientist, that's how I process all this. But when I'm in a room of a dozen people and I say left forearm, that is oddly specific. So now all of a sudden this thing kind of has my attention. I'm thinking about it. I'm like, that's kind of weird. And as I'm trying to like kind of crunch numbers in my head and figure out like what are the odds of this actually happening, the team leader is telling the rest of the group, all right, so because Putty heard God, he's going to model the prayer for you guys. And so I'm like, oh, I forgot. That's how they do it at the Vineyard. Dang it. So next thing I know, I'm up in front, and the rest of the group are praying, watching the professional American missionary, you know, do the prayer thing, and I'm thinking, like, I don't believe in this. I don't do this. I don't know what. And then I realize, I'm like, hold on. This doesn't work anyway. If I just fake it, they're not going to notice, because this whole thing ain't real. And it's going through a translator anyway, so if I say something bad, she can fix it. It'll be all right. Okay? So I'm like, yeah, I've seen this like 100 times. You always ask a couple of questions about what's wrong. Then you say, come Holy Spirit. I don't know why. It doesn't do anything. And then you say a few things and you talk about, well, maybe it'll get better later. Right? I've seen the rhythm. I know how this works. And so I do that. I ask a couple of questions about her wrist. How's it feeling? Whatever. You know, she answers them. And all this is going through a translator, of course. And then I do what I had seen happen 1,000 times. I put my hand on her shoulder and I said, come, Holy Spirit. And the craziest thing happened. He came. He actually came. No, I mean, like, seriously. So I've got my hand on this gal's shoulder. I say, come, Holy Spirit. In the next 3 seconds, a presence comes through the ceiling. We're in a hotel suite. You have to get creative in China because the church is illegal. So we're in a hotel suite. There's a presence that comes through the ceiling right over her head and drops on her with the force of a waterfall. This is not gentle, like, I feel the Holy Spirit. This is a, she's standing there and she buckles, boom, hits the floor. Not forward, not back, just poof, like straight down. She, boom, hits the ground. As she drops, about half the people that are watching feel that same presence, and I hear all around me, thump, 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 thump. So in 5 seconds, we've gone from classroom to war zone. I'm looking around, there's people, they're rolling, there's all kinds of crazy stuff is happening, and I'm thinking, I don't believe in this. And they don't believe in this. They don't know how to do it. I don't know how to do it. How on earth is this happening? I turn back and this lady, I've got my hand on her shoulder, she's twisting and contorting. I said to the team leader, I said, what is she doing? And the team leader goes, oh, that's a demon. And I said, what's a demon? No, she's manifesting a demon right now. And I thought, I don't know what to do with this. One thing leads to another. Eventually she gets delivered, she gets healed, and needless to say, that day changed my life. Now, here's the thing, okay? If you talk to anyone, if you talk to a Dave, if you talk to someone who planted a church and did this thing for 40 years, I guarantee you, you'll get some version of a story that looks like this. I was living my life, and then all of a sudden, the kingdom of God got me. The kingdom of God came crashing into my life. It apprehended me, and I'm doing this because I kind of don't have any other option. This thing has gripped me so significantly that I'm living out what that thing is telling me. See, here's the thing about the kingdom, and this is what I think is so critical. This is our Vineyard conviction. The kingdom of God is not something that you fit into your life. I'm not here to tell you, there's this great kingdom, and you've got this hole in your life, so grab a little kingdom, fit some kingdom in your life, and it's going to fill that hole, and your life is going to be better. You don't get the kingdom. It works the other way around. The kingdom is bigger than any of us, and the kingdom gets us, not the other way around. The kingdom reaches into your life and it says, I'm going to include you in what I'm doing because I'm rebuilding the whole world. Do you want to be a part of that? This isn't about filling some slot in your life. This is about you have a chance to be a part of the most significant thing that has ever happened and ever will happen. The single eternal cause that Jesus came, that Jesus proclaimed, that Jesus was so invested in that he never had any money, he never had a spouse, he never had a house, he hung out with societal rejects, and he marched to his own execution on purpose. Knowing that that thing was going to raise him from the dead. And when that kingdom grips your life, you start living in this really weird way where you make choices like, I'm not going to have the cush job. I'm going to plant a church. I was just reading a book this week. It's about Paul in Ephesus. Paul in Ephesus plants the biggest church in the ancient world in his spare time. He's working a tent-making job. He's got a 9-to-5. And he's like, I'm going to build a mega church in the evenings. You start living a crazy kind of life because the kingdom has gripped you. Jesus puts it this way. He goes, kingdom is kind of like this. It's like a guy who's going through a field, he stumbles into a pearl. In his joy, he goes and he sells all that he has to buy that field. The true measure of whether the kingdom has gripped you is this. In what place can I see you selling all you have with joy? Not out of burden, not because I should. If you're operating in shoulds, can I tell you something? You're not in the right zone. This whole Christianity thing is not about shoulds. It's joy that you sell everything that I have. I got a PhD in theoretical quantum physics. Definitely top five hardest degrees in the world. Maybe higher than that. The starting salary for my degree was more than six times what I made when I came on staff as a pastor. More than six times. Along the way, I've been accused of being a false teacher and a heretic. I've had friends sell me out. I've had all the worst stuff happen that I can imagine. Dave's got the same story. He's nodding right now because he knows it. Chip, get ready. Through many trials and tribulations, we enter the kingdom. There's no other way to it. It's how it works. Can I tell you guys something? It was 2010 that I sold all that I had to buy the pearl. And I have never for one second regretted that choice. Never for one second. Could have easily had hundreds of thousands, million more dollars than I have. Never for one second. Why? Because the kingdom got me. And now it's my joy to be gripped by that kingdom, to have that kingdom running my life, to be living from that place towards this world. And that's what Jesus has for every one of us. That's our vineyard conviction, guys. That reality is not supposed to be just for the people on the platform, but that same kingdom can grip you. Am I saying you got to plant a church? Of course I'm not saying you got to plant a church. But what I'm saying is there's a difference between someone that the kingdom has gripped and someone who's just figuring it out, learning about the kingdom. Has the kingdom gripped you? That's the conviction that I believe the Lord is challenging you. He's saying, you know what? Where are the people who are going to get in touch with that conviction for this next generation of this church? Where are the people that are going to be gripped, that are going to make the radical choices? They're going to kick this thing from glory to glory, the next thing that God's doing. Jesus, you are good. You are big. You are incredible. It is a wonderful joy to follow you, God. You are our King. And God, I just pray right now, Lord, whatever measure your kingdom has gripped us, we just give you all the permission to grip us further. Lord, would you apprehend our lives? Bring us into a whole new space, Lord, where we're living from a whole different place, God. Because your kingdom has gotten a hold of our lives. We surrender our lives to you. And Father, just right now, I bless this church. I bless this transition. I bless, Lord, these people that you've gathered. Lord, this church belongs to you. You're the head. Not Dave, not Chip, nobody else. You're the head. This is your bride. This is your body. Father, I bless this church. God, would this be the season that this church goes from glory to glory? Would this be the season, God, of people being apprehended by the kingdom conviction all over again, God, and this place exploding over the next 40 years? Father, you are gathering the people here to change this community. May it be so, for your kingdom's sake. Amen.
So I'm going to let Putty do some ministry, but I just got this crazy thing that popped into my head. So I'm going to start it and then let you make a mess out of things.
Good.
All right?
Okay.
So listen, I'm just worshiping and I get this thing. I just feel like God just said he's offering a 30-day window.
Mm.
Listen to this. This is just crazy. He's offering a 30-day window to anyone who will use these seven words. Can I pray for you right now?
Mm.
I just felt like the Holy Spirit said he's offering a 30-day window for a special anointing to be upon you if you'll walk in it, that you'll see something. So I just want to ask, if anybody's feeling something like a tug at their heart, even maybe sometimes tingling in your hands, just a sense like, I think God wants to do something with me. I think the Holy Spirit's saying he's offering you a 30-day window where you can, for the next 30 days, every time, just ask the Holy Spirit to give you eyes to see and just say, can I pray for you right now? Put your hands on them and see the Holy Spirit show up.
Mm.
Anyone interested?
Come on.
Yeah. Hold your hands up. Seriously, this is serious. And we're asking, you know what? Give us feedback. I believe if you will ask God today, right now, give me eyes to see for the next 30 days, you'll see someone every day, probably maybe more than one, and you say, hey, can I pray for you right now? And invite the Holy Spirit.
Come on.
And let's see an anointing. It's crazy. It's just crazy.
Mm.
In the name of Jesus right now. I think some of you have never seen, nor have you ever felt, the energy and the power of the Holy Spirit. But if you'll walk in this, I believe the Holy Spirit's going to anoint you in the name of Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
I just pronounce a 30-day special anointing. I mean, obviously it goes farther, but I just sense, walk in it, ask Holy Spirit, give them your eyes to see when they're talking to somebody, a stranger, coworker, neighbor, friend, relative, whatever, that's something, can I pray for you right now? Invite the Holy Spirit to come. Move in the Holy Spirit. There'll be healing, deliverance, whatever. You'll sense and feel the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, I pray for every hand raised in the name of Jesus right now.
Yes, Lord.
Father, let them begin to feel it right now.
Yes, Lord.
Right now. Mm. Sometimes it's a tingling. Sometimes just energy in the name of Jesus right now. Just come, Holy Spirit, right now. Bless you. I bless you in Jesus' name. All right.
Yeah.
Go ahead, buddy.
Amen. Amen. So good.
Woo!
Love it. So as maybe a bit of an addendum to that, here's just really what I feel provoked in my heart. I feel like the Lord has kind of drawn near to us this morning. I mean, you were picking up on that before you really got started. And I feel like the question that's hanging in the air is this, is who is wanting to put themselves on the altar to say, kingdom, come get me? It's the kind of thing where I don't know what it's going to mean for your life. I'm not going to make any promises. I mean, when the kingdom gets you, you don't make the choices anymore. He does. But I feel like he's here and he's saying, all right, who wants that? Who wants the original conviction? You know, just in brief, I find myself lately being drawn to the parable Jesus tells in Matthew 20. He tells this little parable about workers in the vineyard. And he sends a first batch out, then he collects another batch and another batch and another batch. I think there's five in total. And at the end of the day, you know, there's people that go out and work for 1 hour and they all come back and he pays them all the same amount of money. And they're all upset about it. I worked a full day, he only worked an hour. And I felt like the Lord has been highlighting this and he's saying this, I'm looking for another round of workers in my vineyard. And it doesn't matter if you were the first or you're coming later. It pays the same. You get the same resources, you get the same calling. It doesn't matter whether you were the first or you're last or whatever it is. will you work in my vineyard? And so, because I believe response is really important, I'm going to ask this. If you want to sign up for that, if you want to put yourself on the altar this morning, I'd like you to actually come up to this space up front here. I want a visible action. We'll do it right now. Come on up. Just come on up. Yeah. Just adopt to the vineyard position. I guess I've probably seen it before. How about this? How about I pray and then you put your prayer after? Give it an exclamation mark. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the workers in your vineyard. I thank you, God, that it's a season of fresh conviction of the kingdom of God. And Father, these sons and daughters of yours have come and they've said, Lord, I'm offering myself right now as a living sacrifice. I'm putting myself on the altar and I'm saying, God, I want your kingdom to grip my life. I want you to apprehend me. Father, I bless them. And I'm asking, kingdom of God, would you begin to come for them right now? Would you begin to come for them right now, God, whether in this moment or when they go home on the drive home or in the shower tomorrow morning or a month from now or whenever it is, I just mark you guys all right now and I say the kingdom is coming for you. May the kingdom interrupt your lives. May the kingdom seize you. May it grip your heart and may you be so turned by it that you can never be the same. That you find yourself selling all that you have to go enjoy and buy that field. I bless you guys to carry that original deposit, that original conviction that the kingdom of God is indeed at hand. And we get to live under its banner. I bless you in the name of Jesus.
I just sense the presence of the Holy Spirit. Buddy's right. Are you willing to let it all go? Doesn't mean he's going to send you to India or anything like that. It just means your heart attitude. Are you willing to let it all go? Are you willing to let it all go? Yeah, just come, Holy Spirit. We're just so... I just sense it.